Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this July 18th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. Welcoming to, on the WFHR phone line, our good friend, Senator Patrick Teston, joins us once a month. Sir, how you doing?
I'm doing great, James. Yourself?
Doing good. Enjoying this weather, I'll tell you that. Really enjoyed this weather as long as we've got it. A lot of good baseball. We'll be talking more about that in a little bit as well. But I'm glad to hear you're doing good, and I appreciate you being able to make the time. We always and appreciate you joining us. There's really one big headline we got to touch on right away, and that is, of course, the passing of the state budget. By now, most of our listeners have had a chance to, I'm sure, read every single word in that document. By now, I think that, and I bring that up as a point, sir, because I think that this budget, one of the things that stood out to me when I talk to people, and I have friends and family that are on both sides of the aisle, and it's certainly a key part of this job to cover information on both sides of the aisle. This feels like, on the surface, like a lot of debates do, like a lot of negotiations do. Both parties leave a little happy, a little unhappy. That's kind of how negotiating works.
Yeah, I mean, this budget process was a very unique one, probably the most unique one that I've been a part of, and especially as the co-vice chair of the Finance Committee. So, you know, there's a lot of back and forth, a lot of negotiations, and, you know, I was really happy with the end result, and I think you kind of hit the nail on the head where not everyone was 100% happy with the final product, because this is the art of compromise. We have divided government, but I think we landed in a good spot. We were able to deliver over $1.5 billion in tax relief. We were able to invest significant resources into infrastructure, our ARIP program, our LRIP program. We got a number of new buildings enumerated for the UW system, including Century Hall at UWSB. So there were a lot of wins, and, you know, there were some things I wasn't necessarily thrilled about, but given the fact that, you know, we had to negotiate with the governor and even some of our Senate Democrat colleagues, I think we came up with a budget that, you know, puts us on the right track, moves the needle forward. And, you know, it was really unique. What was unique about this is that as we negotiated this, our state budget, it was on a parallel track with the federal spending bill that was signed into law by President Trump. And what was unique about that is that if we had not passed the budget in time before he signed, you know, what he dubs the Big Beautiful Bill, we would have lost out on significant resources as it relates to our hospital assessment. And when you take a look at some of the challenges that we face in this budget, you know, the cost to continue in our Medicaid budget was roughly $1.6 billion. Had we not passed this budget before the president signed the federal spending bill into law, Wisconsin would have lost significant resources. And thankfully, we were able to get that done. It was a lot of give and take. In fact, even from a process standpoint, typically after we vote on the budget out of the Joint Finance Committee, usually, you know, there's about 3 to 4 days where our Legislative Fiscal Bureau and our Reference Bureau, they put the budget in legalese. Well, to pull the curtain back, we were basically still working in real time and delivering the language piecemeal to the governor so he could go through line item by line item and be able to sign that bill at 1:32 in the morning. So we got it done. It's over. It's behind us. But there's a lot of things to hang our hat on. And the big one is tax relief, infrastructure investments, and just happy that we got the budget signed, sealed, and delivered, and the governor signed it.
When it comes to what your constituents are saying or what you're hearing, what are they giving you as far as a positive and a negative as far as this bill?
Yeah, I mean, I've had the opportunity now after we voted on the budget and the governor signed it to be back in district, you know, during the 4th of July parades the last couple weeks. And you know, the big takeaway, I think, from what I've heard from my constituents is that people are just glad that while we have divided government, we are able to come up with a compromise, put aside some of our differences. And I think that's what people are looking for. And, you know, there are some areas that, you know, certainly I think depending on who you ask, folks on the right will tell you they're not happy with the overall increase. You know, that our budget has now, is going to spend $111 billion over the course of the next 2 years. But what I would counter with is that, you know, there's a lot more federal money coming into the state. But when you take a look at our general purpose revenue, you know, it was only about a 5 to 6% increase compared to the last state budget. And so, you know, from my standpoint, while some may criticize us for the overall spend, a lot of this is federal funds that are coming in for programs like Medicaid and other federal administered programs. So I guess that's where I would leave it at.
When it comes to child care, we did see some positives regarding that with the budget, but I'm also hearing from people that we feel like there's still some room to grow there and some concern there. Certainly, you know, I'm not touching on necessarily the bill that was passed by, you know, I'm talking about the state budget mainly and focusing on that. And when it comes to that, there was some concern. Matt Lippert, UW Extension's ag agent, in yesterday, and there were some concerns about how this budget might affect our ag industry and some of the funds going towards that. Are you guys focusing on what you can do to kind of ease that for our ag industry and helping them out?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty. In fact, just earlier this week, I was on a healthcare panel with a lot of different policy experts as it relates to things like Medicaid and, you know, the potential implications of the big beautiful bill. And, you know, we're going to see how that shakes out. I think we are well positioned here in the state to weather any potential changes. Healthcare, that was one area that there were a lot of negotiations between legislative leadership and the governor's office, and using some of the federal money that the governor had at his disposal to continue programs like child care accounts for another year. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done on that front. You know, personally, I think we have to think outside the box. You know, it's great that, you know, we're going to continue this for the next year, but from a long-term sustainable side of things, we have to find a better solution to prop up this industry. And, you know, I think we made some strides on that front, but there's still plenty of more work that needs to be done to addressing child care shortages here in the state. And really what I think we really need to be creative on is how do we get more providers into underserved areas? And, you know, I think that's one area where a number of my colleagues, I think of individuals like Representative Pat Snyder, and he's been a leader on this front. Senator Romaine Quinn has some innovative ideas that, while they didn't get incorporated in the state budget, I do think you're going to see standalone bills that get worked on over the course of this fall and into early next year that hopefully go to help deal with the affordability issue, but also making sure that we're doing what we can to get more providers, especially in our underserved childcare deserts.
You mentioned earlier how important it was to get this budget done, especially before the you know, the union bill kind of went through and everything. When it comes to that, another thing I think that we need to keep in mind is this was holding back other work getting done. Now this is done, other work is able to get done, and hopefully some of that is addressing some of the concerns out there that people have.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this budget process was unique, just from a process standpoint, because, you know, we'd be in co-chairs, myself, Senator Markline, Representative Kurtz, Representative Bourne, we'd be negotiating, you know, various parts of the budget, and oftentimes we would have to hit the pause button because there'd be negotiations ongoing that were a broader discussion between the governor, the speaker, and Leader Lemieux. And, you know, and on top of that, with everything that was going on at the federal level, with the federal spending bill, you know, the big thing for us was making sure that we could leverage the hospital assessment. So there was language in the federal bill that Wisconsin's unique, that for years, most states are able to, on the hospital assessment tax, go up to 6%. Wisconsin was at about 1.8% of that hospital assessment tax. And there was language within that bill that had we not had our state budget passed and signed into law, that we would have been basically iced out. And that would have cost the state roughly $1 billion. And essentially, we would have been punished. And thankfully, we were able to get that done. And now we're going to be able to leverage the 6%. And it's going to go a long way to fill in some of our costs to continue in our Medicaid budget. And, you know, it was really, I think that was the real jettison that got us to where we were. Because, you know, up until about 3 weeks ago, I didn't think any of us thought for sure that the feds were going to, you know, get the big beautiful bill to the president's desk. And that's what really kickstarted the negotiations up again. And we moved at lightning quick speed to get this budget through both houses in an extraordinary session. And, you know, it was a bipartisan bill. And we had to rely on Democrat votes within the state Senate. And that meant there was a little bit more give and take and a lot of negotiations. And, you know, I think it's a credit to the leadership in both houses, as well as the governor's office and even the minority leader in the state Senate, that we came up with what I think is a workable budget that delivers a lot of wins for a lot of Wisconsinites and makes critical investments on things that we've done in previous budgets. And most importantly, again, it's the tax relief. It's the investments that we made into things like our agricultural road improvement program, making sure that, you know, we're investing in our farm to market roads. And, you know, there's a lot to be thankful for in this budget. And I'm just I'm thankful it's over.
I can imagine. When it comes to the concern that I'm sure, whether it's, you know, directly you've heard from constituents or it's just in, you know, the masses and media or what have you, there's all we're hearing, it feels like every morning we're waking up and we're hearing the word cuts. And it's to this program or it's to that program. And different people are concerned for different reasons. How are you and your colleagues empathizing with that and addressing that?
Well, I would say, you know, when you take a look at the budget document that the governor submitted to the legislature in his budget address, it is a night and day difference compared to the one that he signed into law. Now, you know, certainly, you know, when you take a look at like the UW system budget, you know, they were asking for an additional just shy of $900 million increase. That was probably not in the realm of reality. And instead they got roughly, we invested nearly $250 million in UW system. It was the largest increase in the last 20 years. And so while it may not go as far as everyone likes, we have to understand, though, that the pie is only so big, and making sure that at the end of the day that we have a budget that balances, that we're setting future legislatures up for success, and at the same time, we were still able to make huge investments in infrastructure, UW, healthcare, record tax cuts. And so, and not only that, the investments that we made in the K-12 education, you know, probably the biggest issue that we heard as we went around the state was the need for the increase in special education reimbursement and, you know, record investments. You know, we're going to 45% within the second year of the biennium. This is going to free up a lot of resources for schools' general funds. And so for a lot of our cash-strapped districts, especially in rural communities, this is going to go a long way to freeing up resources for them while at the same time providing the support for those students that need it most in special education.
I think one of the concerns that I have and I know that I hear from people is this idea of, so I think on a ground level, you know, when it comes to like Representative Krug or somebody like yourself, we're pretty fortunate in this area. We see you guys, we interact with you guys quite a bit, and we see you guys interacting in the communities quite a bit. On a national level, whether we're talking the highest of positions or Congress or what have you, there is a growing concern of, you know, how can you relate to us? You know, with all these cuts, with all these different things happening, how can you, in your position, relate to your constituents? And that divide happening, getting bigger and bigger for a lot of people, that's becoming more and more of a concern. You know, and especially when we get thrown at us, well, you just got to tough it up. Or, hey, just tough it out. Well, how are you toughening out? The people saying this. I think that that's something that I'm hoping, I should say at least, that not only you yourself, but your colleagues are paying attention to, because that is, chickens come home to roost. They always do. And whether it's at the election, you know, during an election or something like that, these things are going to come to head. People are freaking out. They're scared. And that's a time when we need politicians to step up and do their job the most, is to address that. And I'm hoping that is something that is on everybody's radar over in Madison as much as in Washington.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak to, you know, the dynamics out in D.C.
Could you split? You know, I don't mean for you to try to speak for everybody. I didn't mean it like that. Sorry if I was setting you up that way.
But, I mean, I think when you take a look at, you know, what we were able to accomplish within this budget, and again, you know, the budget that the governor introduced, vastly different to the one that he signed into law. And I think that's a credit to the fact that we recognize that in divided government, yeah, there is going to be a lot of give and take. And this budget was a prime example of that. And, you know, I think from our standpoint, for those of us who voted on the budget, who negotiated the budget, you know, that is the most important thing that we have to do as legislators every 2 years, is to pass a state budget. That is our number one responsibility. And I think for the vast majority of my colleagues, myself included, we understood the gravitas of what that meant. And, you know, while, you know, maybe it didn't go as far as some would like, maybe I certainly would have liked to see things changed and gone in a different direction. But, you know, understanding the reality that we're in, you know, we had to make some concessions. We had to work with Governor Evers. And as a result, through a lot of give and take and a lot of healthy discussions, you know, we came up with a document that one could pass out of both houses and one that he could sign into law. And so, you know, I think we're in a good spot. In fact, you know, one of the things I was really proud of were the investments that we made into areas like our free and charitable health clinics and our community health centers. In fact, we just had Noble Community Health Clinic open up their new facility in Stevens Point, where myself, State Representative Vinnie Moresi, the governor, and DOA Secretary Kathy Blumenfeld were there, and recognizing that, you know, it's things like these types of investments that help deliver results for underserved communities. And so, again, there's a lot to be thankful for in this budget. And, you know, now that it's passed, the governor signed it, you know, we've got a lot of work outstanding that we're going to be working on standalone bills going in this fall. You know, myself and Representative Kurtz working on things like the stewardship program. While that didn't get enumerated in this budget, we're working on a standalone bill. And we're getting stakeholders at the table. I know for a fact in a couple of weeks we're going to be introducing a medical marijuana bill that I'm hoping we can get support for. And so there's going to be a lot of big bills that we're working on for this fall.
Speaking with State Senator Patrick Teston right now, and appreciate the transparency, the conversation as always, sir. And that latter part thing that you mentioned there, we'll probably be talking about next month or in the coming weeks here, or coming months, I imagine. Last month, rewinding a little bit, the Senate Transportation and Local Government Committee and the Assembly Jobs and Economic Committee had separate public hearings on your bipartisan bill that attempts to attract more workers and families to relocate to Wisconsin. Can you tell us a little more about how that went and what that specifically that bill is that you're working to get more and more attention to?
Yeah, so this legislation is called Make My Move. So we were able to allocate $5 million into the state budget. And again, this is pending approval and passage of legislation that is going to be aimed at providing our Wisconsin Economic Development Commission another tool in the toolbox to attract talent from outside of the state. So allowing communities to receive grant dollars to attract professionals to move in. And as I've often said on this show and others, is that, you know, we are in a we're in competition with 49 other states. And when you take a look at our demographic challenges, our aging population continues to increase exponentially. We need to do more if we want to grow as a state. We have seen basically stagnation in growth for the last 10 to 15 years. And so we need to do a better story of attracting people to come into the state. And so by creating legislation like this, I think it's going to provide communities the opportunity to go out there and make the case as to why their places, whether it's Wisconsin Rapids or Stevens Point or all the way up to Superior or down to Beloit, that Wisconsin is the best place to live, work, and raise a family.
I look forward to hearing more about that and seeing how that develops. Another thing we'll be touching on probably next month. Wanted to get into this one with you as well. The importance of the Agricultural Roads Improvement Program, the ARIP program here. Why is that so important to you? I noticed that you brought some attention to it in your most recent newsletter and encourage people to sign up for that. Why did you want to bring some attention to that one, sir?
Well, I think it's critically important when we talk about our rural infrastructure. I think one of the biggest criticisms that I've heard from constituents over the years is that oftentimes when we talk about how we fund our infrastructure system, oftentimes people get critical of the fact that they see all of our money going to the southeastern part of the state, which obviously have major corridors of arteries of commerce, but they feel like we've been falling behind. And so last budget, we allocated $150 million for a new program that is dedicated to improving our rural agricultural infrastructure. And it was widely popular. In fact, of $150 million that we set aside in the last biennium, there was over $500 million in grant requests. So we reallocated that funding this go around in this budget, approved another $150 million, and then dedicated a portion of that $150 million to help with our small bridges and culverts, which oftentimes you'll see headlines of, you know, trucks that basically they collapse them because they're too heavy. And so making sure that and understanding that our rural economy is one of the backbones of our state, and making those investments go a long way. And so I think this next round, $150 million, I suspect we're going to see probably again in excess of over $500 million in requests. Just goes to show that we've got a lot more work that needs to be done on that front. But again, making the investment now is going to set us up for future success.
Yeah, it's not always the most sexy of topics, but boy, do we need good roads. And as important as it is for us in day-to-day use, our truckers, our trucking industry, our farming industry so badly need those things. It's a good one to hear on, and another thing that we'll be keeping an eye on, sir. I can't imagine, you know, I think you and I have a handful of things in common, but probably not too many. But I found a new one that you and I share. You recently got to throw out the first pitch at a Wisconsin Rabbits Rafters game. I have gotten to do that as well. That is a joy that you don't forget anytime soon. Did you have fun?
It was a blast. So the UWSP Alumni Association, they had a basically a tailgate party at one of the recent Rafters games. And I got to throw out the first pitch with Stevie the Pointer, and I'll be honest, James, I did not play baseball as a kid. It was terrifying. I can get up and talk in front of anyone or any group of people, but throwing up that first pitch was a little intimidating, but thankfully got over the plate and didn't make myself look like a fool too bad.
Right, that's the whole thing. I'm not worried about how fast it's going. Let me become viral. Don't let me do something that is gonna a Carl Lewis type situation or something like that. That's a win right there. Good to hear you got it over the plate. And more importantly, or just as importantly, good on you for doing it. You know, there's a lot of people that get offered to do that just don't, you know, do it. I think it's worth doing no matter what. That's cool to hear. As we're wrapping up, sir, any future on-the-job visits coming up?
Yeah, we're actually, now that the budget's behind us, we're going to be kicking up the on-the-job series again here, and I think our next one, I'm going to be working at the Central Wisconsin Airport, so looking forward to that, hoping to keep the planes on time, and not sure exactly what they're going to be having me doing, but it should be fun.
We'll be looking out for you, and we'll be looking forward to talking again next month. If people have follow-up questions, would like to reach out to you, sir, how can they do that?
Yeah, if anyone needs to get in touch with my office, feel free to give me a call at 608-266-3123. Shoot me an email at sen.teston@legis.wi.gov. Follow us on social media. Sign up for my newsletter. And if you see me out and about, feel free to pull me aside and have a chat.
Safe travels out there, and thanks for the time.
Appreciate it, James.
And thank you for joining us for another edition of WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic here at WFHR.com.